Zog der Heilige Mishnah weiter, Masech des Avos, Perikei Mishnah Yud Zayin. Kol machloikes, any machloikes, any dispute. Shehi l'shem shemayim, that is l'shem shemayim, for the sake of heaven. Whoever is arguing here is not arguing for their own covet, for their own prestige, for their own money, or their own benefit, whatever it is. But rather, taka l'shem shemayim, soifa l'hiskayim. Literally, it will endure, it's going to stay. Zakta Batrun, what does this mean? It means that the people involved in the machloikis will live, they won't be lost. Like the machloikis of Hillel and Shammai. Hillel and Shammai lived, their Talmidim lived on. But we're soon going to see that would not be the case in regard to Kairach, and those that followed him, they were lost. Another pshat, says the Batanur, he says, Vani Shemati, that when people argue L'Shem Shemayim, the MS comes out. Like by the machloikis of Hillel and Shammai, we find at the end the halacha is like the Beis Hillel. But a machloikis that is not L'Shem Shemayim, where everyone's just trying to prove that they're right, they don't want to look for the MS, like by Kairach V'Adasai, it's just the opposite. Now the MS came out that Moshe Rabbeinu was right, but look at the price they paid for it. On the other hand, by the machloikis of Shammai and Hillel, whenever Hillel would say their halacha, they always first repeated what Shammai said first. It was because they discussed everything and argued L'Shem Shemayim, and each side was looking for the MS. So the words of Shammai helped Hillel come to the MS. And of course the words of Hillel helped Shammai clarify their opinion. Elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim, which is that we paskin like Hillel. And two chavrusas are learning together, each one is trying to find the truth. No, I think this is pshat. No, I think that's pshat. Even if they argue, but at the end, each one becomes smarter. But if you can have two chavrusas and one is saying, no, I'm right, you don't know what you're talking about. No, I'll prove to you I'm right. It's the me. It's the They don't become smarter. Ushe'ena l'shem shemayim, but the machloikis is not l'shem shemayim, ain't seifel l'hiskayim. Either chas v'shalom and a machloikis, who knows who could lose their lives, or pshat is the truth doesn't come out. Ezi machloikis shi l'shem shemayim, what's an example of a machloikis that is l'shem shemayim for the sake of heaven? Hillel v'shamay, the machloikis din Hillel and Shammai. And this also includes Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, their Talmidim. What's an example of a machlekes that is not l'shem shemayim? Machlekes Kairach v'chal Adasai, the machlekes of Kairach and his entire group. How come it doesn't just say Kairach v'Adasai? So the Mefarshim explain, because even Kairach and his men weren't also ba'achdus; they were also fighting amongst each other. That's one of the simanim that it's not l'shem shemayim when even people on the same side are trying to undercut each other. The Heilige Chavetz Chaim writes. He says there was a story by a certain Rav, but people understand that Rav was the Chavetz Chaim. There was a machloikis between two towns. It was a geferlicha machloikis. Clearly it was not a machloikis l'shem shemayim. And the two people that were leading the machloikis, both of them, Rachmana Litzlan, lost children in terrible accidents. And the Chavetz Chaim tried to intervene to stop the machloikis. He came to one of them and said, you see, look what's happening. And the man answered, Rebbe, he would bury all of his children, he doesn't care, but he's not giving in. And the Chavetz Chaim said, this is what happens to a person when he gets involved in machloikis. He loses his senses, he loses his mind. And that's why one has to run away from machloikis, like running away from fire. I heard this story from Rav Elimelech Biderman Zalzayin Gesund. There was a family in Eretz Yisrael that wanted to expand their sukkah, but their porch was so small, their whole family could hardly fit. They have to step in together. Everything was always falling and crashing, and there was no place for the babies and the high chairs, and the women had to sit inside. So they made the sukkah downstairs. And really, the place where they made the sukkah belonged to everybody. And one of the people used to park over there, but he went away for Yom Tov. In the middle of Yom Tov, or right before Yom Tov, he came back to get something. He wasn't going to be there for Yom Tov, and he saw they made the sukkah there where he parks. He began to scream and yell. They told him, but you're not here for Yom Tov anyway. And everyone else is maskim. He was screaming, no, we're not taking it down. You better take it down. I'm not. The father of the family that built the sukkah there said, we don't want machloikis on sukkahs. But he's wrong. It could be he's wrong. I don't want to sit in a sukkah with a machloikis. He told his family, Erev sukkahs, to take down the big sukkah and put up the sukkah up on the porch. We'll manage to squeeze in. They had no choice. They had to do it. They finished the last minute. And just to make sure they don't come and put their sukkah back, he went and he parked his car there. Then he had to take a taxi to go where he was going. But he wanted to make sure his car is parked over there, this other person. You know what happened in the middle of Yom Tov? Huge bricks got loose and came crashing down and destroyed this person's car. But if those people would have been there in that sukkah, Rachmana Litzlan, what would have happened to them? Their lives were saved because they wanted to run away from Machlokes. When it comes to Machlokes, you're always better off running away than Chas v'Shalom running towards it.